Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all our listeners on today. Yes, you are tuned in to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show with your host, yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. As always, we are excited and happy to have you joining in on us with us on today's episode. Let's bow our heads for our opening prayer. Father God, we do thank you for another opportunity that you have given us, Father God, to go forth on today with another chance, Father God, to help someone that's out there in the radio land, Father God. Father God, we pray that, Father God, that you would take control of this radio show, Father God, and everything we say and do will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And when it's all over, Father God, that you may get the glory out of all that we do and say on today. This prayer we lift up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, listeners, we have another awesome show prepared for you on today with our special guest, Dr. Chanel M. Payne. Today's topic is racism in public education. Without further ado, let's bring her into the studio at this time. Good afternoon, Dr. Payne. How are you today?
I am awesome. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm blessed on today. I'm so excited to have you on today's show, and I pray that all will go well, and I know that God has been very good to you in your life. He brought you from a long ways looking at your bio that you had sent me and all the great things that you are doing here in the city of New Orleans that you have been doing for a while. So
yes,
can you tell us a little bit about yourself, about a little short bio about yourself?
Sure will. I am Dr. Chanel Marie Payne. I am a native of New Orleans. I'm a parent, an educator, a business owner, and community servant. I am a graduate of Marion Abramson Senior High School, the first high school in New Orleans East. I am also a graduate of Southern University at New Orleans. I received my undergraduate degree as well as my alternative certification from Southern University. I am a certified teacher as well as a certified school leader. I am certified in multiple states. I'm certified in Louisiana and Texas. I received my master's and doctorate degrees from Texas Southern University, both in educational administration, my master's with a concentration in principalship, my doctorate with a concentration in superintendency. I've been an educator for more than 15 years in New Orleans and Houston, Texas. I have a diverse background in education that includes teaching. I was also a literacy specialist, a master teacher, instructional coach, as well as a school leader. I am also the owner and lead academic consultant for CMP Educational Consulting Services. And CMP is a business that I started back in 2014. After working as a teacher, as specifically a math teacher in a charter school here in New Orleans, in CMP I have been able to service close to 300 children academically in the greater New Orleans area. Some of my community service efforts are serving as a mentor to young teachers. I also, through my business, employ high school and college students. I have done some work with formerly wrongfully incarcerated men, and also through CMP, I offer tutoring for free of charge, to firemen and police officers whose families have been affected by gun violence.
All right, there you have it, listen, there you have it. Wow. So many doors have been opened up for you. Truly, you are very, very blessed. We are so excited to have you on Facing the Fears on today. Listeners, as you already know, you're welcome to join us on this awesome topic on today. All you have to do is just press that number one on your phone. If you have any questions, comments, or just want to share your thoughts about today's topic, we'd be so very happy to put you in the queue. And at that time, we would open up the lines for you to be able to speak with Dr. Payne Also, if you have any questions for myself, I'll be happy to answer them at that time. Dr. Payne, tell us what inspired you to become a physician, an educator? Well, why did you choose that field to go forward in?
Well, actually, I was inspired by my second grade teacher. She was an amazing educator. She taught myself and my brother. I have a brother that's about 11 months older than me, and he was in her class. And I can remember as a child him speaking so positively of her and loving her as a teacher. And, you know, I just hoped that the following year I could be in her class. And lucky me, I ended up being in her class. And she was and still is my absolute favorite teacher. So I was inspired as a second grader to be a teacher by someone that, you know, that poured into me and believed in me. I tell people all the time that I meet that know her that, tell her you met her favorite student. And she always knows when somebody say that that the person is me because I'm her self-proclaimed favorite student. So I was inspired by a black female teacher that taught me in second grade. I knew I wanted to be a teacher in second grade, and it means a lot to me being an educator because it was something that I aspired to be as a child. I went to and after I graduated from high school, I went to college with being an educator in mind. Now, I just wanted to be a teacher. I never thought about being in school leadership or getting a master's or a doctorate degree. I just knew that because of my second grade teacher, I wanted to be a teacher.
Wonderful, wonderful. How blessed you are. My second question for you is, I know you told us some of the things that you're doing here and that you're qualified for and that you have education or as well as you've been a graduate in some of the fields that you shared with us earlier. But what are some of the exciting things you can share with us on today about being an educator, a physician educator? What are some of the exciting things that you have done, some of the people you've met? And I know you shared some things with us a few minutes ago, but I just wanted to know some of the things. When you first got started leading to where you are today, what's some exciting things that you have done that you can share with us on today?
Well, most of my time and most of my work is with children. I've worked on a college level, so I've had the experience of training and mentoring adults as well that aspire to be educators. But most of my work is with children. From about 8 to 3 or 4 o'clock, I'm in schools working with children and working with teachers. And when I leave the schools 3 days out the week, I tutor children through my business. So it's always exciting to be with children. I think I'm at my best when I'm working after work with my tutoring business. Some days I'm exhausted. I'm tired from my actual job. But when I get to tutoring, I'm re-energized because I love what I do. And my tutoring business, CMP, is my business. So I think it kind of gives me a different level of energy when I go to my business and I'm able to work with students on my terms and educate them the way that I know that they need to be educated. And it's rewarding when they leave me and they go to school and they're successful and they're able to reach out to me or give me a call or send me a text to say that something that we worked on that week or the previous day that they done in school and they've now been successful with that skill. So again, most of my time is spent with children. So in the education arena, I have not been fortunate enough to, meet any celebrity educators. Through my work and working with incarcerated men, I have done some work with some guys that were formerly incarcerated, and that work was rewarding too. I think it was some of the best work that I've ever done. I had three young men, two of whom were wrongfully incarcerated as teenagers and spent more than 20 years in Angola prison until they were exonerated, and another gentleman who was sentenced to life in Angola prison as well, but his sentence was reduced because he was excessively sentenced. So that's some of the most rewarding work I've done, working with children to help them be successful in schools or academically. It's rewarding to see some of my students go on to college or go to the military, and even my college students, for them to graduate from college and me to be able, as a administrator in school, to offer them their first job. And then working, doing my community service work with some of the young men that were formerly incarcerated, it gives me a good feeling that I was able to help them to start a nonprofit organization, or not to start it, but to actually make their nonprofit public and to gain some attention as it relates to formerly incarcerated people, and also servicing our youth across New Orleans.
Wonderful, wonderful. There you have it, listeners. I tell you, you know, our guest on today is really, I'm really amazed and I'm overwhelmed to know that she's working with a lot of young people who has been that's incarcerated or has been incarcerated, and that she encouraging them with more education to go forward with their education. And I'm quite sure that some of the ones who she've already coached, I'm more than sure they can was with us on today, they can attest that what she has done for them in their life has helped them a lot. Now, let me ask you, Dr. Payne, you think that during this epidemic with the COVID-19, how likely is it for you to for the children to need tutoring, especially with in Orleans Parish, where they're saying they're going to do virtual learning here in our city? How likely it is for, would you recommend for them to seek tutoring, you know, outside of the classroom that they'll be learning virtually?
Well, I'll just say that I started the business back in 2014, and in February of 2014, I think I got my first client around April or May, and since then, the business has done very well. I always encourage parents to, when their children are struggling, to get them help as early as possible. It's easier to remediate or to intervene with a kindergartner, a first, a second grader, than it is for a fifth, sixth, or seventh grader, because the older they get, the more resistant they are to those interventions, the more resistant they are to working on their skill level versus their grade level. So I always encourage parents to seek help for their students as early as possible. I think with COVID, a lot of our children were already struggling academically. So with COVID, I think that it's going to push a lot of children back even more academically. So I encourage parents to especially if you're doing virtual learning at home, I encourage parents to seek professionals who are able to help their children. I encourage parents to push their children to read more, and it's books of high interest, of reading material of high interest. I encourage parents to allow their children to explore the outdoors, to take them on little mini field trips to museums if they're open, even outdoor activities like flying kites and skating and riding bikes, because there's a lesson to be learned in everything. Oh, another thing I encourage parents to do is, and we've done it, I have a 21-year-old daughter, to start a garden in your yard if you have a yard, if you have the space. And children can be allowed to watch the process of a seed grow into a plant and then into a fruit. That's science. Those are ways that we can learn. I think that the biggest mistake that we have made, especially African American people, is to be so narrow-minded as to think that the only learning that our students, the only knowledge that our students can garner is within a school building, and that is absolutely the truth. Schools are our primary source of miseducation. So, and have been for years. If you know anything about the foundation of education, you know that our schools were not intended or created for us to attend or to be successful in. But even without schools, we learned how to read. We were inventors of a lot of things that that we use in our present day. So I don't want parents to ever think that the only knowledge or the only education that their children could get has to be done inside of a schoolhouse, because that is that is absolutely not the truth.
Well, you have it, listeners. Remember, you are listening to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show with your host, yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, with our special guest on today, Dr. Chanel Payne. We are talking, the topic on today is racism in public education. We will be getting into our topic very shortly. But remember to press the number one on your phone if you have any questions, comments. I just want to share your thoughts and experience on today's topic. At that time, you'll be put in the queue, and you will have an opportunity to speak with our guests or myself on today. And we will be able to answer your questions or any concerns that you may have in reference to the racism in our public education. Remember, we're talking about knowledge, education, future, community, our children, the facts, and democracy on today. Now, we're going to get into our topic and let Dr. Payne come back and share whatever she wants to share and how long she wants to take to share in reference to racism and public education, how it has affected us, is affecting us, and will affect us in the future. Dr. Payne.
So as a doctoral student at Texas Southern University, and even as a master's student, as a graduate student at Texas Southern, I was always intrigued by school discipline and how racism had seeped into our schools. I started, whenever I had an opportunity to do an assignment or research, it was always related to school discipline. And I noticed in working in schools, specifically when I moved to Houston, that teachers of other ethnicities had difficulties dealing with students with behavior problems. But when those same students will go to other teachers' classes, those teachers wouldn't have a problem with those students. So I just started really paying attention to different teachers and how they interact with different students, and paying attention to students and how they react to different teachers or interact with different teachers. So whenever I had an opportunity to research or write, it was always related to discipline in African American students. And I just want to read for you a part of an introduction of some research that I did, and it starts off as John Dewey's writing during the 21st century gave the interplay between democracy and education, noted that public schools were designed to reflect the needs of the existing community life, improving the life we have in common so that the future shall be better than the past. The school was to be more than a place for transmitting knowledge. It was to offer hope for creating a better, more just, and equitable world. The acts that regulate schools reflect the notion that education plays a crucial role in furthering democratic values and educating our youth. We need to explore the question, are the rules in schools, in school policies, flexible enough to embrace at-risk children and provide them with an education through to college? So in saying that, the big question is, do our schools fit the needs of our community? And if we look at schools And I'll say specifically here in New Orleans, where we have a city that is predominantly a charter system, we often talk about school choice. We often talk about education reform. I think that here in New Orleans, we have a lot of work to do as it relates to school choice and as it relates to education reform. When we talk about school choice is actually parents and children having an option of a variety of different types of educational models that fit their children best. Right now in New Orleans, we don't have a variety. We only have traditional schools. If we really had authentic choice, we could have charter schools, we could have traditional schools, we could have homeschool options for parents that that chose to homeschool their children or to seek homeschooling for their children. We could have parents who have children that are savvy in technology could go to virtual schools. Parents could have the option of sending their children to private schools as well. And that's what real school choice is, having a variety of options that fit the needs of our communities. A second thing that I talked about was education reform. Education reform is another thing that I think that we're struggling to actually accomplish in this city, specifically as it relates to black and brown children. And we might ask the question of how did we even get to a place where schools are hubs for racism? Well, we got to that place, one, because schools were not created for us, and there has never been any true education reform so that schools can fit the need of black and brown children, which is the largest population of the student population in schools across the United States. So other ways we've gotten there is because of the negative and racist societal messages about black students' academic abilities and strengths that undercut their views of themselves and can hurt their academic performance. Also, educators may not recognize the strengths of black children, such as strong oral storytelling, which standardized testing doesn't measure at all. Gifted and talented programs disproportionately leave black children out. And black students are more likely to attend schools with inexperienced teachers and low-paid teachers. So how do we rid our schools of racism? How do we eliminate racism in our school? I think the first thing we have to do is truly acknowledge that schools are and have been hubs for racism and inequality since their very foundation. We often talk about education reform. I think that it is important that when we're having those talks, black and brown educators are included from every level of the education arena, from early childhood to K-12 and higher ed. And that as educators, specifically African-American educators, we make a definitive decision to put black and brown children at the forefront of education reform. It's a must because those are the students that have historically been disenfranchised in our school system. Also, acknowledge our own biases and name racism for what it is. Teachers, all school faculty as a whole, from paraprofessionals to teachers to school leaders, have to be provided with effective, ongoing, and specific professional development as individual schools and as school districts. As educators, we have to ensure that we address social justice issues that take place locally and nationally that have an impact on our students and our educators. We have to really push and promote the implementation of culturally relevant teaching and teaching practices and curriculum and resources. And above anything else that I've said, we have to ensure that we value and believe in black and brown students and their concerns about racism, unfair discipline practices, and discrimination in our schools.
Thank you. Thank you. There you have it, listeners. We do have a caller that has called in, Dr. Payne, and let's bring them into the studio at this time. That is number, area code 504. The last four digits of that number is 5951. Again, the phone number, area code is 504. The last four digits of the number is 951.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you, ladies?
I am absolutely great.
So my name is Daquan, and I am a parent of a student. I'm going to have a student entering into, well, who's already entered into the school district, your district, Dr. Fain, for the school year. And I'm curious, I've been following your campaign. I wanted to know, comparing yourself to the other candidates, what do you think are your greatest strengths compared to the other opponents that you're running against?
Well, I think that some of my strengths are that I'm actually born and raised and educated here in New Orleans. I attended schools in New Orleans from K through 12 all the way up to college. I'm certified as an educator and a leader in multiple states. I am the only person in that district race that has a master's and a doctorate degree in education administration. My background is diverse. I've worked as a teacher, a literacy specialist, an assistant principal, a master teacher, an assistant professor of early childhood education. But above it all, I'm different because I grew up here and I was educated here, which gives me the biggest advantage because I know and understand the needs of the children here in New Orleans because those needs were my needs.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, caller. Listeners, we are.
Thank you so much. Good luck, Dr. Fain.
Let me make this announcement. Thank you for calling in. Caller, do call back in for Given Thursday. We'd be happy to have you on Faith in Your Fist Radio Talk Show. Let me make this announcement. We are not going to really get into the campaign on today because our topic is about the racism in public education. And to be fair with all of the people that's running in that district with Dr. Payne or any other district,
right,
might be sharing, have opportunity to be able to let them come on Facing Your Fears and be able to have an opportunity to share what they're doing as well. So, but you are free to press that number one if you want to ask any questions or comments in reference to the racism and public education. And we do know that Dr. Payne has been doing some tremendous, awesome work here in the city of New Orleans. And me, for one, is very impressed on some of the things that she has shared with us on today. Now, Dr. Payne, I have another question for you. What improvements that can be made in our school system?
What improvements can be made in our school system?
What improvements that you think that should be made in the school system?
To address racism?
Well, not exactly racism, but any improvements that can help our communities, the children in various schools. What would you suggest improvements that needs to be made in our school system, especially during
I'm listening. I'm sorry.
So, you know, the question that I'm asking is, what improvements that can be made to have better education for our children versus last year and the time frame that they've been out of school and returning back to school doing virtual education. What improvements that you would suggest, if any, that can be made?
I think that as it relates to teachers, and I'm an educator, and I tell people no matter what job I have or what job title I have, that I'm always the teacher. And in being a teacher, I am always an advocate for development or teacher professional development. So I think one of the things that we can do to make our schools better is to develop teachers, to develop teachers, But even before we develop them, we have to establish guidelines for how we recruit teachers, how we train teachers, and how we retain qualified teachers and school administrators. We have a lot of teachers that come in, that are coming into the education arena now that are not traditionally trained or alternatively trained teachers. So they don't have the background in classroom management. They don't have the background in teaching and learning or pedagogy. And so I think that it is our responsibility as a district in the responsibilities of schools to ensure that teachers are properly trained, specifically those teachers who come into the field and are not trained at a college or a university in education or in teaching and learning. Some of the other things that I think that that would improve our schools are to explore the effectiveness of the current OneApp system. Currently, the OneApp allows parents to make a selection of 8 schools for their children, and based on that selection, those students are placed at a school. So we have had some instances where parents didn't get the choices that they selected, or they were, their children were placed at schools that they did not initially select. We have some schools that in the city that do really well, and a lot of parents seek those schools out for their children. But a lot of parents, but of course, schools have capacity numbers. So a lot of students are not able to get into those. So I think like an assessment or evaluation of the OneApp would help. I think that establishing guidelines for how we recruit, train, and retain our teachers is extremely important, because if we have excellent teachers, then all our schools can be excellent schools.
I agree. Another question I have for you on today. Do you find that there's still a lot of racism that still exists today in our schools? And if so, what are some of the racist problems that they're having in schools today?
I think racism exists everywhere, and we talk a lot about the criminal justice system and reforming criminal justice. We talk a lot. There's been some recent talk about defunding the police department. I think that it's kind of senseless for us to have those thoughts about reforming criminal justice or defunding the police if we haven't really made an effort to reform our school system. Because children go to school before they ever go to enter the criminal justice system. So I think that when we're having those discussions about criminal justice reform, increasing the incarceration level, defunding the police, that we have to, before we have those conversations, we have to discuss how we can truly reform our schools so that it fits the needs of the population of the students that they're serving. We have situations where children are being pushed out of schools for different reasons. We have situations where even, like, we talk a lot about our African-American males. We have situations now where our African-American female students are even in jeopardy for being pushed out of school and incarcerated in large numbers currently. Research shows that that the darker the complexion of a student, the more likely they are to receive disciplinary actions in school. The more disciplinary actions a student receives, the more likely they are to drop out. And after they dropped out, the more likely they are to end up in the prison system.
Thank you. Another thing that I'm concerned about, especially during the pandemic, with our children learning during the virtual learning that they have to do this year. Do you think that domestic violence in the home can actually affect a lot of these children in their education with their mind and so forth. If there's a lot of domestic violence going on in the household, would that affect our children learning skills this year?
I think that everything that that impacts us negatively and positively impacts how we function in schools. It impacts how we function on our jobs. It impacts how we function in our everyday lives. So, yes, I do think that any type of abuse, whether it be physical or mental or verbal abuse, has an impact on students and how they function in schools, how they progress in schools. I think that that's, I am not a mental health expert. I think that that is a topic for mental health experts. But as a child that has had those experiences, it does affect you when you enter the schools. But I do know that schools are safe havens for children. So children are able to go to schools and feel safe from things like physical, mental, and verbal abuse.
The reason why I ask that is because, you know, I'm a big supporter of domestic violence, and I think that a lot of our children bring their problems to school with them when the schools were open, as well as if now at learning at home. You know, I think it would affect them mentally. So I just wanted to throw some things out there to give some advice to our to the parents and the household in general. You know, because if you're being verbally abused or physically abused, and some of our children are, and especially during the pandemic, I know that everybody has been closed in and everything has changed. And the kids will already have to get used to the ones that's going to be going, you know, physically to school. You know, if they already have to deal with the masks and the social distancing and all. So, you know, I just wanted to just put some points out there for our parents and grandparents or whoever that's raising the children that's in charge of them going to school, that I think that to make it a better environment for them at home and for them to be more tuned into their lessons and the classroom instructions that they're going to be given over, you know, during the virtual period, that I think that if we learn how to talk to our children and let them know that they're deeply loved and that it doesn't matter whether, like you said earlier, whether they're in the classroom or whether they're at home or whatever, the main thing is to get them programmed and know that education, being educated, is the number one factor in this whole scenario. You know, that their mind should be on their lessons and aim to be taught, you know, regardless of where they are. And I think that the parents will play a big role in helping the children to adjust to the this year school season. Dr. Payne.
Yes, this year has been difficult for everyone. Specifically children, to have children to have to remain at home and they're isolated from the friends that they have at school. But some of the discussions that I have with people that I know and friends that I know is that socialization doesn't just start at school. So, you know, allow those children to socialize with their family members, children that are in their families,
right,
and with their neighbors,
right,
with some of your some of the friends that some of your friends, our adult friends that have children. Socialization
mm-hmm.
just doesn't just start in school. So we have to, we live in neighborhoods, we live in communities, and in all communities there's children. So I think this was
mm-hmm.
the perfect opportunity for us to really get back to being a community, operating in the sense of we have to take care and look out for each other. I think
mm-hmm.
that we have gotten away from that. And the fact that we've gotten away from taking care of each other and looking out for each other and being communities is one of the reasons why we have so many of the problems that we have in our communities and in our cities currently. you know, our crime rate, our incarceration rate, the illiteracy rate, the homeless rate, the unemployment rate. I was talking to a teacher friend of mine, and we were discussing that, you know, some parents have to return back to work, but they have small children who are going to be out of school because of the pandemic, and who are going to have to engage in virtual learning. So, you know, I'm like, we're talking, and, you know, we automatically go into the educator, to the teacher mindset. And so if I'm the teacher on my block, then I want to ensure that the children in my neighborhood or on my block are continuing to be educated. So, you know, I'm going to reach out to those parents and that are in my neighborhood or on my block and encourage them to seek help or to seek support from me as the educator on the block in assisting their students with virtual learning. If I have a neighbor who has to go to work and she has younger children, as her neighbor, the least I can do is knock on her door and check to make sure that her children are okay while she is at work and that they've eaten. That's a part of us being a community, and we have to really get back to living as people in a community instead of us living as individuals, individual families. I think that has hurt us extremely, especially in African American communities.
One thing that comes to mind, you know, a lot of the parents are out of work, and with that being said, there's a lot of stress and a lot of emotional, I'm assuming, that's going on in the household already. So when the kids start back to school, I just wanted to bring that out in hopes that we can get, you know, prayers and encouragement and inspire the parents, you know, to don't forget that the kids are in a learning process, and the next step they can put up on them that's causing whatever, you know, whatever that's going on in the home in reference to income or food or whatever stress that they're having. Just keep in mind that the kids, you know, they're doing it to return back, and all of this can affect them, you know, especially being in the same household. And we're going to keep everybody in prayer and pray that God would comfort and be able to, you know, that God will intervene in each household, that God can bless them to give, you know, to restore back to them their jobs and their lifestyles they were living before the pandemic. You are tuned to This Is Radio, your talk show with your host, yours truly, Vance Norma Chapman. And remember, you can press the number one on your phone if you have any questions, comments, just want to share your thoughts on today's topic, which is racism in public education. And we're talking about knowledge, education, future, community, children, facts, and democracy on today. And Dr. Payne and I would gladly answer any questions that you have or any comments or just want to share your thoughts on today's topic. We'll be glad to bring you to the studio if you press that number one on your phone, okay? So we're going to continue talking about racism in public education. I know Dr. Payne has shared a lot with us, and listeners, don't be surprised if the show would end a little early on today, because we were prepared to do a part two of this show in which we could not bring on today, but we would definitely bring her back into the studio maybe next month. And then we will continue an interview with Dr. Payne. But on today, our second part of the show, we had to do some arrangements with it and move it around a little bit. But we still wanted to present racism in public education to our listeners on today. And Dr. Payne, going forward with your in educating our youngsters. I heard you say earlier that you used to be a principal at a school.
Yes, I was a school administrator.
Okay. Now, when during the time that you were in the school, was there a lot of racism going on during that time?
Well, I would not say in the school that I worked in here in New Orleans. The school was predominant. Most of the teachers were African American, and most of the schools that I worked, most of the students were African American. I think that the equity was just in the level of education and resources that were provided to those students.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that since it's charter schools, since it, we have more charter schools now, that there's a lot of complaints from our children about racism, since there's different races of teachers that's teaching in schools now?
I think that the changes in demographics of teachers has been an adjustment for everyone. I think diversity is a quality that we welcome in schools. But I think that when people relocate or move to specific areas and decide to work in schools that are predominantly African American or Latino students, that we have to ensure that we are providing them with training on culturally relevant pedagogy, on how to engage with those students, because if we don't, then we're putting not only our students at a disadvantage, but we're putting our educators at a disadvantage as well. So I think that we have to ensure that we are providing them with the training and the support that they need to be successful in working in schools with different demographics of children. But by all means, we do welcome diversity. Diversity is a part of learning. It's a part of growing. So we welcome diversity in our schools. But I think that teachers who work in schools where the population is are majority black and brown children, that they do need support and they do need training or racial sensitivity training to ensure that they are providing students with a quality education in our schools, whether it be public schools, private schools, traditional and or charter schools.
And there you have it, listeners. You're still tuned in to Faith in Your Fears Radio Talk Show with yours truly, Evangelist Norma, chatting with our awesome guest on today, Dr. Shanell Payne. I mean, it's been a pleasure talking with her on today. So many good things she's been doing, awesome things she's been doing here in our city. And I'm sure that the Lord has many, many more blessings ahead for her, and my prayers are certainly with her. And we're going to take this time out right now for her to share some information. If you want to contact her in reference to her being a tutor or anything that she can help you with in any field that she can help you with, I'm going to give her the opportunity now to share the information on how you can reach her after the show.
I am Dr. Shanell Marie Payne. I am the owner and lead academic consultant for CMP Educational Consulting Services. CMP offers tutoring and professional development workshops for educators. If you would like tutoring for a child, or if you are an educator and you know of a parent whose child is having academic struggles, please feel free to give me a call at area code 504-266-8273. If you are interested in tutoring service for a student, or if you are interested in professional development workshops for children. You can also follow my my business page and see how our students progress. On Facebook, I am CMP Educational Consulting Services, LLC. On Instagram, I am at CMPEDU. And on Twitter, I am at CMPEDU. Our motto at CMP is we specialize in results.
God bless you. God bless you. And listeners, you need to contact me, you can contact me at norma_chapman@yahoo.com or go to the Facebook page, Norma Chapman, or you can just go to Facing the Fears Facebook page, What Faith Can Do Facebook page. Also, we're on Instagram and all of the media, and you can go to our website as well. If you have to be a guest on Facing the Fears, you can. We welcome you. We welcome you. Just give me a call, and we'll set up a date and a time for you to come on Facing Your Fears. It truly has been a blessing talking with Dr. Payne on today. Dr. Payne, anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
No, ma'am, Ms. Norma. I thank you all for tuning in. Ms. Norma, I appreciate you having me on. It has been a joy to have this discussion with you. If you ever need me to come on, need or want me to come on again, please feel free to reach out to me. And if any of our listeners need assistance with their children academically, feel free to reach out to me through CMP Educational Consulting Services.
God bless you. I don't think it's more than fair to let our listeners know that she is running for school board in the upcoming election, and then we'll be talking more to her leading up to that election. But on today, we just decided to not go into the election on today. But in the upcoming, so we'll have Dr. Payne back on, and she'll be able to share some things with you, that her thoughts and what he would like to do in the school system if elected. So we want to just thank her and thank God for her, because she truly is a blessing to our children, and all of the things she shared on today is a confirmation that God is in control, is in her life. I just want to wish her all the joy, love, and happiness and blessings that God has for her as she go forth and go forward with her path that God has set her on. Dr. Payne, it's truly been a pleasure having you as our special guest on today. If anything that we can do for you, feel free to contact us, and we will gladly do it. God bless you and God keep you. And listeners, as I said before, we're going to be closing the show out a little earlier on today, and I'm going to do the closing prayer at this time, unless there's something else that Dr. Payne will share with us. Or if a listener still have time to call in, just press that number one on your phone if you want to share any experience of dealing with the public education or racism. Feel free to press that number one, and I will bring you into the studio. With that being said, if there's nothing else that Dr. Payne would like to share with us, we're going to do our closing prayer at this time. Father God, we just thank you for this great opportunity, Father God, to inspire and to be an inspiration to others, Father God. And we pray that, Father God, you will continue to bless Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show, Father God. Continue to shine down your wisdom, your knowledge, and above all, Father God, give us understanding how to go forth with the upcoming shows, Father God, that we may be able to touch somebody, and Father God, and that's going down the wrong path, Father God, that we can encourage them, Father God, to get on the right road, Father God. And all that we do and say, just remember, Father God, that you said out of all that we do, remember, Father God, to seek your face, Father God. You are the answer to all of our problems. We do want to pray for all of those that are on ventilators. Today we pray that they would come off of the ventilators, Father God. We pray for all the sick and shedding that's been struggling with this COVID-19, Father God. We pray for the families that have lost a loved one during the pandemic, Father God. We pray that you would give them, Father God, lift their bow down head, Father God, and we encourage them, Father God, to look to the hills today, which come at their help. All of our help comes from you, God, because you said in your word, Father God, to trust in you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Out of all of our ways, all we have to do is acknowledge you, and you shall direct our path. And we get path, and we just thank God today for all that we shared today. And we pray that, Father God, that Dr. Payne will go forth, Father God, and strong, Father God. You continue to shine your wisdom on her, Father God, and Father God, renew her spirit, Father God, as she go forth, Father God. and all that you do and say, that you may get the glory out of it, Father God. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And listen, this is the end of our show for today. Remember to tune in every Thursday from 4:30 to 5:30 as Facing Your Fears with Evangelist Norma Chapman, your host, will have another exciting new guest for you for next week and the weeks to come. And we pray that you will be blessed and continue to be blessed and go forward and remember to keep Christ in your life. Good afternoon to you now. Bye-bye. Thank you, Dr. Payne.
Thank you.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Pull it up online.